Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome again to Shelter Rock Church. My name is Leslie, and it's good to be with you today. I'm not sure if this is the case at your house or not, but my kitchen is where so much activity happens in our home. And from homework with my daughter, science experiments with my son, long conversations with my husband, Sean, there's a lot that happens in our kitchen. Of course, a lot of baking and cooking goes on there as well. But one of the most frustrating questions that I have to answer almost every single day there in my kitchen is, what's for dinner? What's for dinner? It's the age-old question. What are we going to eat? And if my family is going to have a nutritious meal, then I need to put some time and effort into what they're going to eat. And so if I'm on top of my game, I have it all planned out, and I can easily answer that question of what we're going to eat that night. But and it's much different if I'm busy and I'm going from one thing to the next. And so I need to have deliberate, conscious effort and thought put into what we are going to eat in order for us to have the nutritious, balanced meals that we need for ourselves. And trust me, I would much rather have cupcakes for dinner, and I've done it too. But that's not what my body needs. It's not what the energy that I need to make it through the day. And so I need to have that time and effort put into what my physical body needs to have in order to make it through the day. You know, the same is true for our spiritual bodies as well, our souls as well. We need to have time and effort put into feeding our spiritual bodies, caring for our spiritual health. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus spoke to this very matter. He said he told us of the importance of feeding our spiritual selves, of caring for our spiritual souls. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, if you have a Bible, you can turn there, or it's here up on the screen. This is what Jesus said. It says, Jesus answered, "It's written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." You see, the Bible, God's word, it's not just a collection of good thoughts and recommendations for your life. This is the very words of God, the word of God that we need, you and I need, to strengthen us, sustain us for everything that we face in this life. You see, we need the word of God to fuel us, energize us, give us what we need, the nourishment that we need for this life. And so today, what I want us to do as we continue in our series, I want to encourage you that if you're here today and you're feeling weary, if you're feeling weary in your soul, you're feeling overwhelmed, uncertain with how you're going to face what's ahead of you here today, I want to encourage you that you need to make sure you're sitting at the table. Make sure you're sitting at the right table. And maybe it's not a literal table, but you need to make sure you are consuming the food that you need to care for your spiritual health. And if you're here and you're run down within your soul, maybe you're eating the wrong food. Maybe you have the wrong diet. And what your soul really needs is not another purchase on Amazon. It's not another drink. It's not another relationship for you to be in. What your soul, what you ultimately desire, is not another binge on Netflix. You need the word of God to give you the strength to be the source of your life, to make it through whatever you're facing here today. And so as we continue here in this series on habits, things that Jesus spoke about that we need to embrace into our lives in order for us to care for our spiritual selves, I want us to take a good look at what it means to have the nourishment from the Word of God and the importance of that, and then really practically break it down what it means to embrace the Word of God in our lives. And so first, I want us to see that we need to depend on the Word of God. And then secondly, we need to digest the Word of God. So depend on the Word of God and digest the Word of God, because we need what Jesus said. We need the Word that comes from the mouth of God. So first here, we need to depend on the Word of God. And for us to, better understand what Jesus is saying here in the Gospel of Matthew, we need to actually go back to the Old Testament, to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And when Moses is standing before the people, before the Israelites, and is reminding them, he's standing there reminding them of the faithfulness of God as God led them through the wilderness for the past 40 years. And he's standing there telling them that they are so dependent on God. You see, it was in the wilderness that they were ultimately dependent. Their very lives were dependent on God and his word. You see, it was the very word of God, the very command of God that sent manna, food called manna, from the heavens down to the ground. It was God's word that kept them alive as they went through the wilderness. Not really bread. It was God's word that sustained them and kept them alive as they were going through that time in the wilderness. You know, it's in the wilderness when we are more receptive, in a sense, to hearing the word of God. We're more open to having a Bible verse come and encourage us and kind of give us this little pick-me-up of faith when we're struggling, we're going through some hard times. But you see, Moses is telling us that when we just take bits and pieces of God's word and bring it into our life, we actually miss out on the full benefit, the full diet of God's word and the strength and the peace that comes by regularly depending on the word of God. And so Moses is warning them to not forget God, and that they need to depend on God for every season, in every season of their life, not just the hard times, the good times, and everything in between. We need to depend on the word of God. You see, there's a danger in self-sufficiency. There's danger in self-sufficiency and prosperity, because if we're not careful, we start to assume, we start to think that we're responsible for everything that's going good in our lives. If we're not careful, we start to think we're the source of good things in our life. But you see, we need to understand, and Moses is reminding us, that we so easily forget how much we depend on God and his word. And so I want to encourage you today that no matter what season of life you're in right now, whether it's a hard time, a good time, no matter what season of life you're in right now, start today depending on the word of God. Start today depending on the word of God, whether you view yourself as close to God or not, whether you think you have whatever level of faith you might judge yourself as being at. Start today depending on the word of God. And I think that you will see, I know you will see, your soul, your inner being, your spiritual health increase and benefit in ways that you have never experienced or never imagined before. Treat it as though your very life, your very being depended on the word of God. We have a running joke in my family, Sean and I do, that whenever he or our daughter Kate is acting quite moody or irritable, really they're turning into somebody that's not just, it's not like them, they're not acting like themselves. We just call it out as it is. They're hangry. They are acting so hangry. And I'm not sure if you have family members in your life or friends in your life who get that way or not, but hangry is the result of being hungry, which in turn makes you angry. And you turn into somebody that's just really not pleasant to be around. You're not pleasant to be around at all. Listen, I think there's a lot of hangry Christians walking around today. I think there's a lot of hangry Christians who are walking around and they're irritable and they're moody, and quite frankly, they do not look like Jesus. They're full of judgment and selfishness and pride. I know I have cases of that as well. There's a lot of hangry Christians walking around, and it's because they are not feeding their souls. They're not feeding, they're not caring and giving their spiritual selves the nourishment that they need. You can understand that if you're only getting the nourishment once a week here at church, or every other week, or however often you tune in to this pastor or this church, you can understand why you might be hangry, or why someone else might be acting the way they are, is because they are missing out on the food, the nourishment that your soul craves, that your soul needs. You see, the Bible, the very word of God, is the place that we find it's our guidebook. It instructs us and encourages us. It fills us with God's truth and tells us who God is and how we need to respond to the goodness of our God. It gives us the areas in which we need to confess our sins, the things we need to get rid of in our life, pull up, throw out, get rid of in our lives, so that we can be the person that we need to be, that God is calling us to be. You see, in the Bible, in God's word, we read of the grace and forgiveness that each one of us is given, the sacrifice that was made for us. In God's word, we see the way in which we need to realign our lives in order to become more like the one who gave it all for us. That is in God's word. We need to depend on it. Depend on God's word each and every day. Just as much as we would feed our physical body, we need to make sure that we are regularly feeding our spiritual body, our souls as well. So we need to depend on the word of God for nourishment. We need it. But also we need to digest the word of God. We need to depend on the word of God, but then we also need to digest the word of God. And just as we're comparing the word of God to food, nourishment for our spiritual bodies, we need to have a chance in which we come and break it down and understand it so that we can gain the nourishment that we need from the word of God. And so for us to better understand how to digest the word of God, we need to, again, jump back to the Old Testament. And standing in the crowd, listening to Moses give instructions and reminding the people of God that they need to depend on God in every season of life, was a man named Joshua. And Joshua later became the leader of Israel. And so Joshua is standing here, but later God speaks to him and gives him insights in how to depend on the word of God. And in Joshua 1, verse 8, we read this, God speaking to Joshua, saying, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Now, truth be told, I honestly love that last part of the verse. Who doesn't want to have a successful and prosperous life? I know I do. But let's not jump ahead of ourselves. Let's not jump ahead and miss out on how do you have this prosperous and a successful life? You see, it is with the word of God. If you want to succeed and prosper in the things that really matter in this life, you need the word of God, our guidebook, the one in which gives us the way in which we live and find meaning and purpose in this life. Joshua is understanding, he's coming to hear that in order for us to depend on the word of God, we must digest the word of God. And so I want us to see what it means to digest the word of God through the habit of meditation. That word that we see here in Joshua 1:8, to meditate. So I want to, real practically, we're going to walk through what it means to meditate on the word of God. And you probably have heard meditation, and sometimes we think that it's associated with a new age movement and achieving this some kind of unconsciousness or zoning out from what's happening, from zoning out from real life. And while there might be some benefit of silence, and we're going to speak about the habit of silence later, but there might be benefits of sitting still before God. Today, the habit of meditation actually speaks to a different kind of spending time with God. It's contrary to this zoning out, in a sense. Meditate is used over 20 times. That word meditate is used over 20 times in the Bible, and it's in reference to how we are to approach God's word, how we are to approach God's word, and we're to fill our minds with scripture and to then ponder on the truth that's found therein. That's what it means to meditate. And if you were to take a thesaurus and look up the word meditation, a synonym for meditation is rumination. It's the word rumination, which might not be as familiar to you, especially if you didn't grow up in a rural area or you're not currently a farmer. But rumination is the process by which cows eat. That's what it's called, rumination. And my pawpaw, I grew up in Virginia, and my pawpaw, he raised cattle. And so I can remember going and visiting him on his farm and enjoying finding the cows throughout the fields and then going to the barn with the tractors and helping caring for the cattle staring at them from the fence and coming up with funny names for the cows as they would stare back at us and ruminate. You know, so what happens is cows, they eat a lot of grass, and do so quickly and then send it down to their stomach. And then what they usually do is go and find a place to lie down. And as they're lying there, apologies if you have a weak stomach, but what happens is then they burp up their food in a sense and then chew it some more and then send it back down to their stomachs, and later on, burp it up again and chew it again. It's a way in which this process is called rumination. It's a way in which they can get every ounce of nutrition out of the grass, out of their food, and it also aids in the digestion process. And so this imagery of us, of the rumination, is really how we are to meditate on God's word. You see, we're to take scripture, a small bite, usually is the better bite, a small bite, whether it's a verse, one or two verses, a psalm, take a small bite. Maybe it's a big bite. Maybe you are working through a Bible reading plan, for example, and you need to read a certain section of scripture. But then it's noticing maybe a word or a phrase that comes to mind and then recalling it. So you're chewing on it. Then you've digested it a little bit, that word or phrase from the verse of the Bible passage that you're reading, and then recalling to mind again throughout the day that truth, digesting it a little bit more. And then another time throughout the day, multiple times throughout your day or throughout your week, you're recalling the truth of God's word over and over and over as you digest and chew. It helps you get every ounce of nutrition that your spiritual life, your spiritual body needs for its health. Ways to meditate. I think this imagery that we have about meditation here in Joshua 1:8. I really think this imagery of the cow is what I picture with that first portion of the verse of verse 8, which says, "Keep this book of the law always on your mouth, on your lips. Meditate on it day and night." The Hebrew word meditate means to mutter. And it's a common practice with the Jewish people. It was a common practice for them to read aloud the scripture and then to repeat it back to themselves, what they read, and to recall it back to themselves. And then also for them to talk about it, to converse about it with one another. And so this was the process that they went to, the muttering process, repeating it under their breath, in a sense, as they went about their day or talking it with other people. And so I think this is the way in which the Jewish people, in a sense, could fulfill what was said here, to continually have the word of God on their lips, So how Joshua approached it, to say that he was always having the word of God in his mouth. It was this continuation throughout the day as he recalled to mind the scriptural truth that was revealed to him. And so for us, for you and me, for us to meditate on God's word, it doesn't have to be this huge portion of scripture that we read. Really, the smaller, the better, because it allows us to find that word or that phrase for us to focus in on. And so maybe it is for you to read aloud a word, focusing on certain words throughout a verse. Maybe it's to recall to yourself a word or a phrase, a verse that kind of stuck out to you as you read that scripture passage. One or two words that you can hold on to throughout the day. Maybe it's then talking about it with coworkers or friends, and I'm not talking about you have to quote back scripture to them word for word, but maybe it's a way in which you use that scriptural truth to kind of guide your conversation, guide your thoughts as you talk with other people in your life. Maybe it's taking that word or that phrase that stuck out to you in the verses that you were reading, to take that phrase and respond in prayer to God. This is the process of meditation. It's not just gaining a lot of Bible verses. It's meditating, it's chewing on it, digesting it, bringing it back up, recalling it again, chewing on it a little bit more, applying it to what's happening in your life. And some people, I know I used to, you know, assume that it has to take lots of time throughout your day, hours upon hours of your day. And a lot of times that's what people think that pastors do. They just read the Bible all day long. And while there might be opportunities for me to spend time reading God's word for hours at a time, my usual time of meditating on God's word, my usual time spending in God's word is in the morning when it's still dark and I can hide away from my kids in the basement. You see, I enjoy exercising using my treadmill, and so I can listen to God's word, meditate on God's word while exercising. So I'll either do it that way or right after exercising and spending time reading and reflecting on God's word. You see, meditation doesn't have to be a sitting activity only. For some people, yeah, it does. You want to sit. You want to reflect that way. Other people, it's taking a walk, taking a drive. There's other ways in which you can recall to mind scripture and truth and fill your mind and ponder on God's word in that way. It doesn't have to take a lot of time. You can start today, maybe just with 10 minutes, with a verse or two. But you see, meditating on God's word throughout the day is when you turn down the noise of everything that's happening around you, everything that's bombarding you from work, from school, from social media, from the news, turning it all down. It allows you to tune in to God, to tune in to God and his word and his truth through the process of meditation. Last week I was reading through scripture, and I was reading in Psalm chapter 5. And it was a chance for me to focus in and read in the morning. And the word or the phrase that really stuck out to me in Psalm 5 was this word, wait expectantly. Wait expectantly. It was the psalmist was saying that we can take our requests and lay them all down before God and then wait expectantly. And so throughout the day, as I encountered an issue in my own personally in my life where it was natural just to worry and get festered up about it, I recalled to mind, I remembered that I can lay all of my worries and my concerns before God and then wait expectantly. I can wait. I can trust. And then later on in the day when I was talking with a friend and he was explaining a lot of the issues that were going on in his life at the time and the financial struggles, I could recall to mind and use in the guiding the conversation and saying, God is working when we don't even see it. We can wait expectantly for him to act. And then later on in the day, as I heard the news of what was happening in our country and how all the division and how it saddened me deeply, and when it was so, you just wanted to worry and be filled with fear of what could happen, God reminded me, recalled back to my mind again, wait expectantly. Lay all your worries and your fears and your concerns down before him and wait expectantly because we serve a God who works. And so when I wanted to naturally take things back into my own hands through meditation on God's word, I was reminded to release that control to a God who's working and wait expectantly for him. It was a beautiful way, a beautiful process of meditation throughout the day, and it's one that's simple enough that any of us can do it. By focusing in and pondering and redirecting our thoughts from our worries and redirecting our words to allow us to focus in on the truth. You know, a lot of us tend to, I know I did as well, to see meditation as this kind of unknown kind of thing. But I was reminded that if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. If you know how to worry and bring to mind all the negative concerns and the things that are bogging you down, and quite frankly, you probably have no control over the things that you're worrying about right now. But if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate, because meditate is all the opposite. Whereas worrying is filling your mind with all these things that are outside your control and what could happen, and I don't know what's going to go on. Meditation is taking the truth of God's word and filling your mind and your heart with peace and truth and encouragement and reminding you that life is so much bigger than what you're facing here, that God is so much bigger than what we're facing here. Worry fills us with stress and anxiety, gives us ulcers. Meditation fills us with peace and the truth of God and his word. So I think most of us know here how to worry. But instead of worrying, turn that into meditation on God and his word. In the next minute or two, what I want to do is lead you through a time of biblical meditation. I want to give us a little insight into what it might look like for you to meditate on God's word. And I hope that you'll take this with you and throughout today or throughout the week and see that you can build upon it in your spiritual life, because we need the nourishment that comes from the word of God. And so I'm going to lead us through a time of looking at Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2. And as we read these verses, what I want you to do is to listen and reflect and see if there's a word or a phrase from these two verses that, in a sense, jumps out to you, that maybe God is highlighting for you today. Maybe there's a word or a phrase, a verse, maybe that's the whole verse, but something that you are seeing is revealed to you about God. Maybe who God is for you today. Maybe it's a word or a phrase that reveals something about yourself. Maybe it's a word or a phrase that you need to respond back to God in prayer because of the truth that you're hearing today. There's nothing magical, but there's something powerful when you sit and spend time hearing from God. Allow him to speak to you. And sometimes you get a word, you get a phrase. Sometimes there's nothing. But there's still truth in these verses of God's word. You can close your eyes, you can reflect, you can look at the verses on the screen as well. But this is Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. We read, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. whoever dwells. In the shelter of the Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge He is my fortress. My God, in whom I trust. Whoever dwells in the shadow of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. As you reflect on those words today, there was a phrase, there was a word that resonated with you, resonated with your heart, resonated with your soul. I encourage you, take out your phone, jot it down in your notes, write it down, keep it with you. Recall it to mind throughout today. Recall it to your mind, to your heart, to your soul today. Ponder it. Ponder the truth that God has for you, that whoever comes to Him, who dwells, who stays with Him, finds shelter, finds rest, finds refuge, finds peace and strength from Him. Let that be your encouragement today. Dwell on that today. I hope that this is a start for you to see how you can meditate on the Word of God, how you can chew on it, digest it, bring it back up, recall it to mind, chew on it some more, how you can keep God's Word continually in your heart, your mind, on your lips throughout the day. See how it changes your life, the way you respond, how you carry about the worries in your day. So I close today and ask you the same question. What's for dinner? What are you going to eat today? I'm not sure I can help you with your meal planning for this week, but I know that answer has been given You see, Jesus Christ stepped into our world thousands of years ago. He was the Word of God. He was the bread of life, the one that our souls crave a relationship with. And so if you're here today and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I encourage you to come up after the service. A member of our prayer team or myself or Pastor Jim, we would love to let you know that today you can find that satisfaction in knowing Jesus Christ, and the grace and the forgiveness and the life that only He can give you. But today, understand that we need to depend on God's Word. Our very being, our very lives need to depend on it for nourishment, to make it through this life or whatever we're facing. We need to digest it. Hold on to it. Don't walk around a hangry Christian. Feed your soul, because I guarantee you will not regret it. I invite you to close your eyes in an attitude of prayer and reflection. Lord Jesus, we stand here today in your presence. God, we thank you that you sent the bread of life to our world. We don't have to spend time searching around for answers, for things that will make us feel satisfied within our lives. You alone, Jesus, satisfies our ultimate desires and longings. God, forgive us as we search around for everything else that we think would answer that question. God, tune us in to your words, your very words. May we see that our lives depend on it. The health of our souls, our spirit, depends on your very word. God, teach us what it means to continually digest your word, to not just read it at one part of our day, to check it off our list and be on our way, but God, recall to mind the truth that you want to continually reveal to us throughout our day, throughout our week. God, change us through the power of your word. God, let us taste and see that you are good. God, we thank you for your word. May it change us today. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to continue now in worship through singing. So I'd invite you to stand as we close our time here together.